First Corinthians chapter 4, please. I still have a few. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I did a devotion on this verse, but then afterwards, the Lord led me to go back to it, and I kind of tried not to at first, and I was just going to go and do something else, but then it's like sometimes the Lord takes me like and grabs me and pulls me back into it and says, okay, no, go back over this way. And that's what happened with this. And we're going to talk about stewards for Christ in every place. And I think it'll be applicable to all of us here. I'm going to try to make that. I think the Lord does make that applicable to all of us and very important to understand. So we're going to study this thing of what it means to be a steward for Christ in every place. And I want to pray and then get right into it here. And I want you to consider, I want you to think before we get started here of and ask the Lord yourself as I pray that you would ask the Lord to speak to your heart and to help you to be attentive to what is said here today, what is preached to you. It is important to take heed how you receive the Word of God and to really hear it, to apply it to your heart, that you would ask God to give it to you in your heart, that it would sink down into your heart as truth, and you would meditate on it later. And it would give you what God wants you to have to think about and to ponder your path of life and use it. All preaching ought to be used to reach the heart. It should be used to correct, instruct, reprove, and rebuke, and teach you exactly what God would have you to know. So, and apply to your life. How can I apply what I'm hearing to my life today? That's the important thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. Let's pray first. Father, Lord, we thank you. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless us now. Thank you for safety you've given us to be here, Lord. We pray for those that are sick or possibly being sick, Lord, that you would just take care of them, Lord, and meet their needs. Help them, and if they're listening at home, Lord, help them to do the same thing, to reflect, to ponder, and to receive the truth of the Word of God today, that it would change their hearts and lives and build us and grow us in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, these two verses have a lot in them. They're powerful verses. They teach some valuable lessons for every walk of life, no matter where you are at, whether you are in business, whether you work for somebody, whether you are a mom or a dad. This sermon today will apply in every way to each child of God here in this room or those that are not saved yet. It will apply to them because the principles are still the same. I suppose it's important to understand what a steward is so that we can know if we are a faithful one or an unfaithful steward. A steward, it means a man employed in great families to manage the domestic concerns, to superintend the other servants, collect the rents or income, to keep the accounts. We see some of these examples in the scriptures. Turn to Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1, please. This is a steward. Genesis 15, 1, after these things, the word of God, of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. This man was his steward. This man took care of everything in his business, in his home, everything that needed to be done in the business area. He took care of, he managed his finances. He took care of his accounts. He did everything. He was faithful in that. In Genesis 43:19, we see again in some of the verses there, and they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, O sir, we came indeed down to the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you, fear not. your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. This is the steward that handled the money. He handled the affairs, okay, of Joseph. He handled all the business affairs of his estate. This steward, Eleazar, he was in charge of all of Abraham's affairs. He even went and found a bride for Isaac and brought the bride back. That's how much trust, that's how much of a faithful steward he was that Abram used him to go send out and go get, go find a bride for his son. That's important. That means it's important. When we connect those two words together, what it means is that it's that to be a steward is an important thing. To be a faithful steward is an important thing. It's what God expects. Now, I pray that it can be said about you and I that we are faithful and that others would see that. May God in heaven and the indwelling Holy Spirit be well pleased with your stewardship and mine in all that God has given you. So many men ask for so much more, but they do not care for the things that they have now. So many have under their authority things that they are negligent in dealing with now, but they look at dreams and things beyond their reach at the time, and they want those things, but are they faithful in what God has put right in front of them? You will waste your life in spending it on dreaming of other things until you deal with the things that you have in front of you. Faithfulness in front of you. Faithfulness to all that is under your hand now. So many times, people live on pipe dreams. And there's nothing wrong with having vision and dreams. What's wrong is when you neglect the things that are in front of you and the duties that you have in front of you to look for something else, to distract you from what is important. That's what's wrong. And it happens more often than not. And it is not usually stemming from doing something great for God or doing something great for others. It is usually to fulfill the lust of your discontented heart. It's not to help others. It's not to better others. It's not even to better your life in the sense. It's to fulfill some kind of lustful discontent that you have. And this is all stations in life, and I tend to hit on all cylinders today. All of them. I can think of no family that is greater than the family of God in heaven and earth. I can think of no greater head to the family than God the Father and Christ Jesus the Lord, who is our elder brother and the everlasting father of his new generation, that he begot, being the first begotten of the dead. We are in that family, and we have duties within that family and duties within that rank that God has placed us in. Everyone has an order. Every place has an order. There is a sphere of responsibility that God has given you, that you are to manage. Paul talked about every man in his own rank, in his own order. For a wife, she is to manage the affairs of the home. Ask yourself this question. Are you faithful in your duties there? Being careful to understand what exactly biblically those duties are. Here is one of the problems. Much ignorance lies in people today, in God's people today, because they don't study and meditate on God's word. So many of them are absolutely ignorant on what your responsibilities are. Very ignorant on what your duties are in that sense. Let me ask you, do you take time to make sure the home is a sweet and orderly place? A place of comfort and care? Think about that, Christian wife. I want you to think very, very intently on that. Think very intently on that. Do I make the home a sweet place, an orderly place, a place of comfort, a place of care, a place of solace from the world. A faithful steward will see to it that the world is not welcomed in the home, or worldliness for that matter is not welcome in the home. Neither is bitter strife or envy or anger or malice or wrath or any other thing in yourself or in others ought not be welcome in that house. But you set the stage and the tone for that. Like what they, in Spurgeon's day, they called the wife the angel of the house. But see, you set the tone for all of those things. Or you set the wrong tone, and everything is out of tune, isn't it? The music is not sung. The song that is sang is not a good one. Let me ask you, as a wife, is your husband honored and loved and respected by you and the children? Good question. Are you a faithful steward? Faithful with what God has given you? I don't mean, are you just in your place showing up? So many people would think it fine just to show up and be in their place. Well, I'm married. Well, I'm a mom. Well, I'm a dad. That doesn't mean you're doing it according to the scriptures, just because you are that. Just because you have that position doesn't mean you are fulfilling your duty as a faithful steward. It matters how you fulfill your duties, how you deal with those things, how you handle those things, Mom. Proverbs 31 gives a good list of things. Most misunderstood chapter in the Bible, I think. One of them. Absolutely most misunderstood chapter in the Bible. For some reason, people get the idea that this teaches something totally opposite to what Paul taught, which is exactly the same that Paul taught. He taught nothing any different. Paul just explained it in more detail in Titus chapter 2 and in other parts, other places. I'm going to say something to you, ladies, that either you like it or not, it won't make any difference to me. But here's the thing. I hope you like it. I shouldn't say that. I want you to like it. But if you don't like it, as of right now, I'm sleeping pretty good. I used to say I sleep good all the time, but I don't say that. But God never changed the order of the sexes. God never changed that. See, Pastor, you're always beating that drum. I know, because the world's always beating the other one. So I have to keep beating that one. I have to. I have no choice. I have to. By God's grace, I pray that I die beating that drum. Because we have 30 children that are in this room or that are around there. And you know what? They need to understand the proper roles, because every freak of nature is going to be showed to them. Do you understand that? Do you really think if you flavor yourself with the world, your kids aren't going to get an appetite for that? Do you think that? Do you really think that in your mind that you can take on a little bit of Jesus? You can take on a little bit and your kids aren't going to gobble up hell. Do you really think that? I got news for you. You're nuts. They're going to go after it like anybody, like nothing before. And they're going to be consumed by it. As somebody said the other day, they don't like me yelling. Well, good. I think I'll yell some more. I like yelling. Do you really think that if you don't take on the world a little bit, that you flavor your home and your family's world, that it's not going to rub off on them, that they're not going to gobble that up and go after it? Let me tell you something. I'm not trying to embarrass him either, but I'm going to tell you something. My dad backslid and drank a little bit, and I was dealing dope within 4 or 5 years of that. I was running around looking and loving all manner of wickedness and evil within a few years. Do you understand that? Do you get that? Do you get that? I know what I'm talking about. It was a little bit. What attraction does it give you? Makes me sick. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will not do him good. Or she will do him good, excuse me. Sorry. She will do him good. I was thinking about something. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, you know, that good and evil doesn't necessarily mean sinful. It means evil is a lot of things. You know what I mean? But evil is sin. But it also has a broad definition in Scripture. But in this case, I believe it's talking about bad versus good. But she will do good and not evil all the days of her life. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. What does this tell you? This tells you that Christian women are not lazy. They are diligent. They are vigilant. They are always at work. Their life is not about play. Listen, I'm going to say this to you guys, and I'm going to say this to you women. Your life is not about play. Life is not about recreation. I understand that the world has taught you something, and it's pleasant to hear that this world is about recreation, but it isn't. Everything is trying to attract you to recreation, but guess what? It isn't. That's not what your life is about. Your life is about work. It is. Now, there are times for recreation. There are proper times for it. But most of your life is going to be work. That's what it is. And as a Christian and as a Christian mother, you have your hands full, literally. Like almost all of them do right now. I'm looking around like all of them. They almost all have their hands full. But, right? Or they're hanging off of you. One of the two, right? But that's life. And that ought to be a picture for you to understand that that's everything. That's all that your ministry is. It's everything besides your husband first and then your children. But that is your ministry. That's what you were created for. That is. To glorify God. And how do I best glorify God? When I do exactly what he called me to do. That's how. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. You notice that she is the steward of that house. She is the one that is caring for everything. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard. What is this? This is her husband's estate. And she is managing it. It's not her own estate. But with the fruit of her hands, that what her husband gave her. You say, how do you explain that? I'll explain it like this. You know how you have chickens in your back? Some people have chickens in their backyard that the husband provides, and he goes and he gets chickens and he brings them in, and then you have eggs, right? And then the lady goes and sells the eggs. That's what that is. That's what that is. It's all her husband's. She girdeth her loins with strength. I don't have time to go into this because this could be like, this could literally be a sermon itself. Just going through these verses, and there's like at least four other sermons in this sermon, so I got to keep moving. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out, not out by night. What does that mean? It means that she's always working. She's busy. A wife and a mother, always busy, industrious. One needs spiritual strength for that. How did she strengthen herself? She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Kind, giving. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Why? She made it. Put it all together. She gathered it all, made it. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Doesn't say the woman is known. Did you see that? You see that? It doesn't say that the woman is known in the gates. Why not? Because that's not her place. She's not supposed to be known in the world. Her husband is. Why? Because her place is back there at the angel of the house, remember? What does the Bible say? To be a keeper at home means their feet abide. What happens in Proverbs, it says that the woman that was the strange one, what was she doing? Right. She's always got to go gandering about somewhere. Can't be satisfied being a wife and a mother. Got to be wandering about. It's the opposite. It's a difference. Strength and honor are her clothing. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. What is that? Stuff she did at home? Sells it to others. Pretty easy. She looketh well to the ways of her household. Let me back up. Strength and honor and her clothing are her clothing. Strength and honor. Her testimony, the question of who she is, never in question. Strength. Strong, honorable, right? Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. When she speaks, it's wise, or she doesn't say anything at all. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Lady, that means you're kind in your speech. You don't say the abrasive things to others. That's left for your husband to do. Your speech is kind. The law of kindness. God made a difference in men and women. And his expectations of them are different. Amen. She looketh well to the ways of her household. Notice it doesn't say she looketh well to the ways of everybody else's household. In everybody else's business. Worried about what everybody else is doing. No. I find more women get in trouble on the internet because they're more worried about what everybody else is doing than what they're supposed to be doing. So I don't mind telling you, you're a bunch of busybody Jezebels. Go home and bake some cookies. Amen. With or without shoes, it doesn't matter. Right? That makes women mad. That makes me glad. Her children arise up. Oh, wait, let me back up here. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. You want to be in trouble, lady? You just be idle. You'll be in enough trouble. And by the way, it's idle to sit on the stupid internet and keep your eyes on a bunch of nonsense that you don't need to be on. That's idle. If you're not growing in the Lord, if you're not doing something to better yourself and your soul and your children, everything else, you're wasting your life. You're eating the bread of idleness. What you're doing? Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. It says her works do. Why? What are her works? Her husband and her children. Those are the works that praise her in the gates, because she put the time in for that to happen. She gave her life and her heart for that, to make sure that happened. And that's when the praise comes later. That's when it comes. She's not in the gates. Her works are in the gates. Her children. Her husband. Your husband and children are not a distraction to your day. They are your day. Do you understand that? They are your day. They are your ministry. They are your life's work. Are you a faithful steward? You must give an account. Let me ask you, Mom, what shall the ledger say of you when all the accounts are in? We'll come back to that in a little while. But let me ask you that. Let me have you think about that during the rest of this portion of the sermon. What will the accounts say when they're all in? Next, we come to the man. Are you a faithful steward at managing your affairs at work? Do you give your boss an honest day's work for your pay? Titus chapter 2, verse number 9, exhort servant to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Purloining, you know what it means? It means stealing. That's what it means. Committing literal theft. So then if I waste my employer's time and I don't work hard, then I am committing literal theft? Yes, you are. You're stealing. Right? If I don't work hard, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, faithfully working and being paid for what I'm there to do. You don't have to put your hand to the bag like Judas did to be a thief. We can be a thief by not being a good steward, not being faithful workers. We are reminded here in this verse, with all good fidelity. What does that word mean? Faithfulness. Careful and exact observance of duty or performance of obligations. We expect fidelity in a public minister, in an agent or a trustee, in a domestic servant, in a friend. Honesty. Veracity, adherence to the truth, as the fidelity of a witness. It is true loyalty. You know, loyalty seems to be almost erased from our land. Like it's written out of our national DNA. Like we have none left here. I've seen so many people be so disloyal. And may it not be said about God's people that they are disloyal to the Lord first, to their spouses next, and to their employers, and to their church. This is the opposite of what men of these perilous times will be. The Bible says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Man, we could park there for a while and just sit there for a while and think about that and ponder that. How much we are a lover of our own selves. How much self is pleased above all else. It's very vain. It's very disgusting. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers. Say they're going to do something, they don't. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you been in trouble with God in a situation and you told God you were going to do something, and as soon as he got you out of it, your loyalty and everything else just fell by the wayside, and you quit doing the things that you promised God that you were going to do, that you set your heart to do, that you turned your back on that promise, and you were fine, and the sun was shining again, and you were out of the dark valley, and you turned your back, and you broke that truce to God. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. So many traitors. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I stopped there for a minute, right? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Again, if you prescribe the same legality to your pleasures as you do to your devotion to God, I believe that your devotion to God would increase. Because I would say that you are very legalistic in your time that you give to God, in your money that you give to God, in your devotion to God. Extremely legalistic. But I think that if we did a little bit of a measuring, if we did a little bit of a comparison list, I don't think you're a legalist when it comes to pleasing yourself. I think you are willing to give all to self very easily. Right? Very easily. Ephesians 6:5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, of your heart, as unto Christ. Singleness of your heart. Thine eye be single. What is that the opposite of? A double-minded man that is unstable in all his ways. The most miserable man I ever meet is the double-minded man. He can't fall on one side or the other. He tries to walk a tightrope between both of them. And he becomes very miserable, or she becomes very miserable. It is not comfortable to be double-minded. There's no comfort in it at all. Yeah, it is. And you are completely unstable until you give it all to Christ, until you give it all up to him, until you surrender it all to him. You are very uncomfortable. You really are. You're not comfortable. No. He says, men, you're to be servants with singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, and all the service that you do for others, it is unto Christ. Not with eye service. What does that mean? Not with eye service. That the only time I serve God is when somebody's eyes are upon me. The only time I am faithful to my employer is when someone else's eyes are upon me. The only time I am giving due diligence to my stewardship is when eyes are upon me. When man's eyes are upon me. Oh, because we love to be seen of men. We love to be seen of men. Don't we? Don't we love to be seen of men? Don't we love to be the attraction to be seen of men, so all men can see what we've accomplished or what we can do or what our talents are or what our gifts are or what we can do for others to be seen of all? But when it comes to God and devotion to God, at the end of the day, when it comes to that, you must understand that God's eyes are always upon you. And the true test of your spiritual walk, your stewardship spiritually with God, your true test, lady or man or child, your true test of you being a good servant, whether it be of God or man, is when no one is watching you but God alone. No one but God alone. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Right? Good stewards are more than eye service men pleasers. Good stewards are faithful in all that they do. They are faithful to devote their life and their time. They are faithful to do what is right. And God's children, God's people, are faithful when no one is watching. They're faithful in their prayer to God. They're faithful in their time of devotion to the Lord. They are faithful to meditate on the things of God. They are not spiritual only when they are around others, but they are walking in the Spirit, whether in private or in public, because that is their heart. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Reasonably, you can tell when a man does not have his heart into something. It is not hard to see. It is not hard to see. When you have your heart into something, you apply yourself with the seat of all affections and emotions, everything that you are, you apply yourself, and it is easy to see. It is easy to see when someone does not do that. Not with eye service as men pleasers, doing the will of God, though from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. It's easy to complain. I know. I have to repent of it. It's easy to. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Let me ask you, are you a faithful steward at home as a husband, as a father? Do you love and care for your wife and cherish her? Do you bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? A man is to lead in all areas and be honest in the sight of all men. Lead in every area. Ephesians 5:25 commands the husband to love his wife. Are you faithful in loving your wife? Are you faithful not to wound her conscience? Are you faithful not to wound her by sin and wickedness? By compromise and evil? Are you faithful not to wound your children, but to always follow the scriptures before them? And when you deviate from them, you repent and you get it right. You don't stick to it. You don't hold on to it, but you repent and you turn from it. Let me tell you something. If you don't, you lose respect. If your children see you living in compromise, you lose their respect. If your wife sees you living in compromise, you lose her respect. If a husband sees a wife living not according to the scriptures in that way, there's a loss of respect. The children will lose respect. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to bring them up? Not to provoke them, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Are you faithful in your finances as well? It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are you faithful? Faithful. Are the books up to date and the bills paid? Are we careful and good stewards of the money God has given us? Amen. This is important. God expects us to be. Amen. God expects us to be. Many cannot give anything to God because they have too much debt. That's not what God wants. God's children should not be in such bondage that they could do nothing for anybody when it is necessary. Amen? You have to be strong. You have to be diligent. Faithful. And you may be in a lot where you cannot do a lot. That's okay. There's other things you can do. But let it not be because of mismanagement. If there's not enough coming in, then there's not enough coming in to do anything. But let it not be because we squander and waste it all and throw it all away. We're all guilty of wasting some, that's for sure. careful and good stewards of the money God has given us. Careful, good stewards, found faithful, not foolish. Amen. Next, we come to the single Christian. I want to talk to you. I want to find out if you're a faithful steward. Single man or woman, are you a faithful steward for the Lord? Do you wait upon the Lord? Do you? Without distraction, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 32, please. It's time to examine your stewardship a bit and get you to reflect on your portion of it, what God expects from you, to find out if you aren't weighed in the balances and found wanting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 7:32, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. Stop. Do you? Do you that are unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord? How? Look at that, comma, look at this, comma, how he may please the Lord. Is that your goal as a single Christian, male or female? Is that your goal? Is that your meditation? Is that your daily desire? Or is it to please your own flesh? He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. How he may please the Lord. Right? That's your duty. That's your stewardship. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man, by the way, that means woman too, in the sense of mankind, be found faithful. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. That changes. Some of you better realize that, you men too. When you get married, your life is not about pleasing you any longer. Amen! Your life is about caring for your wife and your children. That's your life. It is not about pleasing you any longer. If you wanted to stay pleasing you and be out of the will of God, by the way, then you stay single. Look, it's a sad thing to see the state of most young men today, and men period today, to be honest with you, to see that once they get married, they don't see the responsibilities they have. They want all the pleasure that goes with marriage, but they don't want any of the responsibility, and they want to whine about their responsibilities. Life's too hard. I have all these challenges. Buck up, Sally. Get to work. But it'll kill me. Good. You'll die for a good cause. Get to work. There ain't no excuses. None. None. It's not tolerated. Not possible. God doesn't give any. You are a steward. This is what you've been given. Now do your duty. That's what God has commanded. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. That's his duty. Yeah, it is. Your priorities change, and they have to change. And when they don't change, it's because you're being selfish and you want everything else, but you don't want to give yourself. I had one guy tell me that, I've said this to you often, but I remember him saying, well, if I brought my wife home from work, then I'd have to work 12 hours a day. Well, good, get working. What's the problem? Get going. What are we talking about it for? Get it done. Get it done, man. You just told me you could do it. So go do it. If you tell me you're a man and you can't provide in this economy, you don't want to. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're in a wheelchair. I don't care who you are. I really don't care who you are. I know what's possible out there, and I know what's there, and I know what people can do. I know that God has blessed this nation, and there are jobs everywhere. 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 There's no excuse for a man in America to say that he can't provide for his family unless he is completely dilapidated, down, done, can't do anything, a vegetable. Right? But back to single. There's a difference between also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord. Do you? Ask yourself, do I? I better. That's my stewardship. That's where I'm supposed to be. That she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I speak of your own for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. That's your duty, single person. That's your duty, to attend upon the Lord without distraction. It is not your job to look for a wife or a husband. It is your job to serve the Lord. It is your job to be faithful to God. God will bring one through different channels, but that's not the sole purpose of your existence, is for you to go find a wife or you to go find a husband. That is not. Many times, the more you look, the worse it gets. The more you try to do, had a bad flashback there about something, but the more you try to do, the worse it gets. Take some ever-present examples that you've seen that's the case. Lee, when he found Carrie, he was looking for a free meal. He wasn't looking for Carrie. And that fits Lee, because he was doing what Lee normally does, looking for a free lunch. So, I mean, he was looking to feed his belly. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes his wife. That's how it'll happen with you most of the time. You won't be looking. And when you do, usually trouble comes from that. Usually it does. That doesn't mean you're not in a mindset to want that or desire that. It means that that's not my sole existence. That's not, if I am not focused on the Lord and focused on growing, see, herein where faith comes in. Because in your mind, you're thinking, well, if I don't look and I don't diligently search and seek out this, then God, it'll never happen. Because how could one possibly find me all the way here in Northfield, Minnesota? Right? How could that possibly happen? How? About as possible as happened when I walked into a church in Bettendorf, Iowa. That's how. A church smaller than this. Way smaller than this. Like, the only people that were there were bus people that we bussed in, and like two other families. My mom and dad, mine, and my wife's family. That was about it. And a few scattered other ones. That's it. Yeah. You just have to believe the Lord. You just have to exercise faith and patience. But you also have to have your heart in the right place, and that is to serve the Lord. That is to be faithful to God. It's not your duty to search those things out. If God brings them to you, if there's other people will usually, that's how it usually happens, but you're to attend upon the Lord without distraction. You may want to be married, but God wants you faithful to Him now. Attending upon the Lord means that I am a servant to Him and to others. Some single people can be very selfish. And it's no wonder some are not married. How selfish of a spouse would you be? Wanting to be married to please your own self and not looking to be one flesh is against God's design. It is true that God did not make man to be alone. He made him to dwell with a wife. But it is God that provided the spouse. then you must tend the garden until God provides for you a spouse. Let me ask you, a single person, how are you a steward for others? How do you serve the Lord? How are you a faithful steward in your own affairs and to help others? God has told you to be a steward. He has told you to be faithful. He has told you what your duty is. Are you performing it? How much time is devoted to the Lord and to being a servant to others? I just wonder, some of you are single. How much time do you spend devoted to God? Ask yourself that. How much time in prayer? How much time in Bible? How much am I learning? How much have I read? I asked you that. When's the last time you read a book, some of you single people? When's the last time you read a book? You have time. Oh, don't say you don't have time. God will give you some more. He'll free your schedule for you. And that happened. When's the last time you spent some time devoted to God and learning and growing? Amen. Come on now. How much are you focused on self versus others? Are you single-eyed unto the Lord? You have much time, some of you. Are you faithful with it? Do you squander your time? Do you waste it on foolishness and nonsense? Waste it on foolish, stupid internet stuff that doesn't amount to anything, but waste your brain cells and your time, your most valuable time for the Lord that God has given you? Should be spent with the Lord while you have no family to care for directly in preparing for a family. Then we come to children. I want to talk to the children. Children, you are not exempt from this command. God has made you stewards as well. You know, Genesis 3 tells us that Jesus, the seed of the woman, will come and save his people from their sins. So the next verse shows all that are included in that. In verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. What do we have there? We have the seed, right? We have the woman. We have the family. We have children there. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Look at this, verse 16 shows the entire family. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Do you know children are a part of that list? They are sinners as well, and God requires that they be faithful stewards. Ephesians 6:1 tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Are you obeying? Do you obey from the heart? Honor thy father and thy mother. Do you honor them to their face and dishonor them behind their back? Do you speak ill of them when no one is around them? Do you dishonor them? Do you bring disgrace to them? Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That is the first commandment that is given with a promise attached to it. Long life. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, did you know you have another duty that you are to be faithful stewards in as well? That I rarely hear talked about to little children. You know that you are not to despise the chastening of your parents when they chasten you? You boys, you girls, listen up, pay attention. You are not to despise the correction your parents give you. Just as Paul gave us a lesson in Hebrews of a father that chastens his children. Hebrews 12:9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. We gave them reverence. I hope that you give reverence. Do you give reverence to your father and mother with a holy obedience and a reverence to them? And you respect them for their discipline and their instructions of you? Or do you harden your heart on the inside? Maybe you don't show it on the outside, but maybe inside you have the heart of a rebel. And maybe when the rod of correction comes to you, you get angered and you get bitter because you don't want to get right when you have clearly seen that you are wrong. Do you hold on to your obstinate opinions when you're wrong? Do you hold on and do you begrudge the the chastening of the Lord when they bring the rod of correction to you, or when they instruct you? Or do you listen to them, or do you talk back and explain your and try to explain yourself and try to teach them how they're wrong and how you know more than they do? Or do you want to do that, yet you don't do that because you know you're not allowed, but in your heart you do it? Do you? Are you a good steward in that? Do you faithfully reverence your father and your mother? The Bible says you are to be in subjection. Even Jesus, who did no sin, was in subjection to his mother. Do you think you're greater than Jesus? Do you children think that you're greater than Jesus, who did no sin, who made himself subject to his own mother and father, his stepfather, Joseph? Do you? You children ought to consider that if Jesus is subject, was subject to his parents, so should you be subject to yours. Otherwise, you exalt yourself above God. You are not exempt from that. In fact, you are guilty. And if you've held those sins in your heart, then you are guilty and you have just qualified yourself for the lake of fire. And you deserve to die and go to hell for your sin. Even though you've harbored it in your heart and no one else has seen you say it or do it, you deserve hell. You do deserve hell. Every single child in this room deserves hell. Every single one. They're born into this world with a sin nature. It is not hard to see it. It's wore around with such pride, such obstinance, such anger, such vitriol. And if you've held those sins in your heart and you have never come to Christ for forgiveness of your sins, if you've never believed on Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, if you've never trusted him by faith, if you've never come to him and repented of your sins, then you, no matter if you're a princess or a prince here today, you will be knocked off of that little throne of pride. Your scepter of your pride will be taken away from you. That staff that you lean on will break. And you will stand before Almighty God when the books are open. And if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be cast in the lake of fire for all of eternity. This is the place where rebellious children go. All rebellious children go. The Bible gives you a command that you are to reverence your father and your mother and obey your father and your mother. And if you have not obeyed from the heart, Jesus said you have broken all of God's law. You have broken it all. And if from your heart you have been obstinate and rebellious, oh, that is the worst sin of all. Why, a father and a mother would rather have an outright rebellious kid that they could deal with, than to have one that is a rebel in their heart, one that has held those feelings in their heart of hate and vitriol and anger and murder in their heart, and a lack of reverence for God's holy word, and a lack of reverence for their parents. If you've held those things in your heart, then you are qualified for hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, sent forth his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins and to be buried. Because see, he was a child. He came into this world and he was a child. And where you failed your parents, he did not fail his. So then you see, he paid your sin debt because he was the perfect child without blemish, without spot. And you need his blood to cover your sins. You need to be forgiven of your rebellion, of your sins. Oh, you are trapped in rebellion and sins in the heart. And if you hold on to those sins, God will not hold you blameless. If you are old enough to understand that your sins are ever before you, old enough to understand that you have broken God's righteous law, old enough to understand that you are guilty before God, you are old enough to go to hell. And not a man alive can keep you from that place. But there is one that rose from the dead that can keep you from there. There is one who defeated death. There is the perfect child. And that was Christ. He is called God's holy child. And he is the only holy one. And he ever liveth to make intercession for children who are sinners. who will repent and believe the gospel. You are not promised to live to be 20. You take a bet on your soul, you will lose. Don't bet on your soul. Don't bet. Don't gamble your years. I have all the time in the world to repent. No, you don't. It is always time for repentance. It is always the right time. Turn ye, for why will you die in your sins? If you get saved, you won't be perfect, but you'll want to be. You'll want to do right. You'll want to live for God. You'll want to be obedient. You'll still battle the flesh, and especially because you're a child, you'll still fight things. You'll still have to be taught things. You'll still have to learn things. You'll still have to grow, but you'll have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you to guide you and to keep you from evil and to protect your heart and to strengthen you. But if you go out without Him, you will surely be devoured by Satan, because what's in your heart will come out. It'll be a bitter root, a bitter tree that breaks forth from your soul, and it will cast its ugly branches and fruit over all the world and everyone that you touch and every person that you see and every relationship that you have. Best be saved as a child. Best be saved young. Best turn to Christ while you are young, while the heart is tender, while it is supple, while it can be molded and made into what Christ would have you to be. Children, are you faithful stewards? Are your rooms neat and tidy, and do you care for your things and respect them? Do you respect the things of others? Do you respect this meeting house? Little children, do you respect it and the things that are here? Are you careful not to touch things that don't belong to you? Do you have respect for other people's things? Do you respect the area at home and as well as here by not leaving trash laying around or your things lying around? We could all learn some good lessons about that, to be good stewards, all of us, the big boys and the little ones, the big girls and the little ones. Amen. Now, lastly, I think it's important that we come to the pastor. The context of the passage is that of ministers or pastors. Though it applies to all stations or offices of life, it applies to the man of God first. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Pastors are judged the most out of anyone, and I suppose probably the most misjudged people on the planet. But he says, it's a little matter if I'm judged of you. He was very careful with that, or by you. Paul was saying, in one man's words, he said, dear as you are to me as a church and a people, yet my main desire is not to secure your esteem or to avoid your censure, but to please my master and secure his approbation. He says, I judge not my own self. I do not attempt to pronounce a judgment on myself. I am conscious of imperfection and of being biased by self-love in my own favor. I do not feel that my judgment of myself would be strictly impartial and in all respects to be trusted. Favorable as may be my own opinion, yet I am sensible that I may be biased. This was designed to soften them, what he had just said to them about them judging him, and to show further the little value which is to be put on the judgment which man may form. If I do not regard my own opinion of myself as of high value, I cannot be suspected of undervaluing your opinion when I say that I do not much regard your opinion. And if I do not esteem highly my own opinion of myself, then it is not to be expected that I should set a high value on the opinions of others. Here's what he's saying. And there's definitely a time in pastors that they do this, that you have to leave. And by the way, to you as well, some of you suffer from a melancholy spirit. And I understand that. I felt that, and I get that. And let me say this to you. That's why you must, at the end of the day, when you become morbid in your inspection of yourself, you must leave your judgment up to God. You must place it in God's hands and let the Lord judge you. as you walk according to his will, you must leave it to the Lord. Don't judge yourself incessantly. Let God be the judge. God will deal with you. God will judge you. He will deal with your life. He will deal with your affairs. But Paul was saying he's not looking for applause or censure or to make you happy, but to please the Lord, who is a better judge. Paul had to leave the judgment of his performance up to God after he obeyed the Lord. You must too leave it up to God. You and I should not judge ourselves. We can err either way. After we've done a right inspection, then we ought to let it go and leave it to God and let him do it. Ministers are to be faithful in their calling, to give themselves wholly to it. But in the end, God will judge our work. And here is where it all comes down to. In the next chapter, it's talked about. It all comes down to the judgment seat. For all stewards, there is a day of reckoning. It is the day of judgment. I can try to judge your situation as best I can. You can try to judge mine. But the Bible says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The final judgment of your stewardship will not be at the day of your death. No. The final judgment of your stewardship will be when all the accounts come in. And that is not till the end. That's when your stewardship will be judged by the perfect judge. That's when he will take all the records and he will bring them all in. He will pull them all together and judgment will be given then, when all the records are in. They asked D.L. Moody the same thing about his life. And he said, well, you go on to your reward and everything like that. And D.L. Moody said that he would not receive his reward until all the accounts were in. And he was right. And they're still coming in. I think of men like Spurgeon, who millions of people read his sermons every day. All the accounts are still coming in. The work that you and I do, from the person that hears a sermon or the person that gets a tract to that person that gets saved, all over. On and on and on and on and on. I think of the 85-year-old pastor that I was saved under that is nearing his death. He's dying of cancer. And I think of his life. I think of the fact that all the accounts will not be in at his death. There'll be more to come. Think about that. Now let me ask you. We'll leave that judgment, that perfect judgment, up to God. We won't judge each other's motives because we can't know each other's hearts. But what we can judge is our actions and our faithfulness outwardly. And God will deal with what is inwardly. But let me ask you, are you faithful? Your stewardship has been outlined. Children, you have been taught what it is. Are you faithful? Mothers, wives, you have been taught what it is. Are you faithful? Fathers, husbands, you have been taught what it is. Are you faithful? So many men want more and more things, but if we are not faithful in what we have, why would God give us more? Why would the Lord give us more and more? I'll close with this verse. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Faithful men, faithful women, faithful stewards, your work, your sphere of all importance, all dutiful. Fulfill your stewardship. Time is short. Life is short. We know not how many hours of this life we have left to serve God. May it be filled with faithfulness to God in everything. Your stewardship is not soul winning, although you ought to lead souls to Christ in whatever realm you're in. If you're a woman and you have children, they are your ministry to preach the gospel to and to see that they become saved. If you're a man, then you are commanded of God to be a stronger witness, a bolder one out in that world. How are you? Are you a faithful servant, a faithful witness? I hope so. Husbands, wives, children, all of us, single Christians, you've been outlined. Your duty has been outlined before God. Someone asked me one time, can you teach or do a video on single Christians? Well, I'm sure I have. I'm sure I've outlined it in many other sermons. But I suppose this would be a good outline for them. And part of that, the part that pertains to them. And the question you have to ask yourself is, am I faithful? And if I'm not, then why not? And do I want to be? And may God bring you to repentance where it's necessary and encourage your heart where you are doing what he's told you to do. May those children and those others that have never been born again by the Spirit of God, may they repent and not hold that sin in their hearts, but give it over to Christ that he would forgive their sins, that the gospel has the power of God to change them and make them new. They won't be perfect, but they'll have a desire to follow him in sincerity and in truth. Father, Lord, thank you. Help us, Lord, to remain faithful in all the changing of time and all the challenges and all the valleys and all the dark roads and all the dark nights and in all the mountaintops, Lord. May we be faithful. Lord, please speak to the hearts of your people. Continue to speak daily, Lord, and throughout the day to them, Lord. May their hearts be stewarded for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May those resurrection realities live in their lives. May they be faithful in every office, in every station, in every place in life. May we all be in your order and be faithful to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.